All right. Judges 16. And so this is, I don't know, hopefully we can wrap this up tonight, finish with Samson tonight. And whenever I say that, we don't. So you know how it's probably going to go. But my plan is, what I really want to do, just thinking about going forward, this is, I think I told you this would be the last individual that we study the life of. And so, but I thought I'm going to do a study about Christ in the Old Testament. And so that's what we're going to do next, only I'm not ready to do it. So I haven't got my notes together on that. It just kind of came to my mind. So what I'm going to do is I thought it would be a good time just to do an in-depth study of the work of the church. So we'll do that. That will take some weeks. And I know that's review for a lot of us, but we haven't done it for a good while. And I haven't preached on it even for a good while. And so just the work of the church, we can really, if we get off track with the work of the church, we get off track in a lot of ways. It's the only thing that separates us from more liberal-minded brethren, really. And so, you know, and then we get new members and things and don't really know what is an institutional church and a non-institutional church, and all of that relates to the work of the church. So anyway, I don't want to make it sound like it's just a filler. It kind of is, but it's more important than that. So we'll take the time to do that, and then it'll give me time to get myself together with Christ in the Old Testament. I think that will be a real good study to look at Christ as he appears in different ways in the Old Testament through prophecy and promise and his presence and that sort of thing. So that's our plans going forward. But first we have to conclude this with Samson. And so we've seen what kind of individual Samson is, not a great individual so far as character is concerned. And we have seen that his major problem is lust, really, lusting after women. He has a problem with women. And that is the thing that plagued him his whole adult life. And ultimately, as we'll see tonight, leads to his death in the end. And so that is the practical thing. There's a lot of other things we can take away, just different poor examples that he set that certainly we can learn from those examples, not to follow in his steps. But mostly it is the lesson on lust. And we have to be careful, those of us, all of us really, but particularly those of us who are men. It has plagued society and men in society almost from the beginning of time. And so, I mean, it's very important that we learned from the mistakes of Samson along those lines. There's a passage in Proverbs, and you're very familiar with it, but I want to read just a little bit of it just to make a point. In Proverbs chapter 7, remember the adulterous woman there that the chapter is basically about. In fact, the several chapters here in Proverbs deal with the adultery and the problem of it, warnings against adultery, warnings against the adulteress. And in chapter 7, it's the warning against the adulteress. And you remember the young man who's caught up with this woman. He goes near her house, near, to her corner and puts himself in temptation's way, which is kind of the problem with Samson. He kept putting himself in temptation's way. And so this young man in Proverbs chapter 7 ends up becoming a victim of this seductress. And so it's a really good chapter, and I've read it, studied it. I don't know. In fact, I was going to say, I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon, but I have. Bob Dickey preached a sermon on this chapter, an entire sermon on this chapter, an excellent, excellent sermon. And I can't remember it. Maybe he preached it here. I don't know. But I attended a gospel meeting wherever he was, and he just did a really good job with this. But I want you to notice down at verse 24, after he tells the story, how this man got himself, young man got himself in trouble, it says, "And now, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many, and this is the part that I want us to see, for many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. So the point is, this is a huge problem. Like, lust personified has many, many, many victims. And a throng, he says. And it just shows you how dangerous this is. How many homes have been destroyed. How many marriages have been ruined. Local churches plagued. I had a gospel meeting a couple of years ago that was canceled because of a scandal within that local church that involved adultery. And an elder's daughter and another a deacon in the congregation, it messed them up so badly that they were having a hard time recovering. The congregation, not just the families involved, it did that, of course, but the entire congregation. They started canceling all their meetings. They just weren't in shape even to have gospel meetings, all because of this problem. And so we really have to take it seriously. And for you men, if you turn over to Proverbs chapter 2, you want to know how one of the ways we can just really keep guard against this sin. And the reason I wanted to read that passage that talked about how many victims she has is because we just need to, all of us need to realize it could happen to any of us. The preacher, elders, doesn't matter. If we put our guard down and don't do the right things, we can all find ourselves in just a terrible situation. And that can ruin our lives and the lives of people around us. And so in Proverbs chapter 2, it says at verse 1, it says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand and the fear of the Lord, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And so he's leaning towards something here. You want to prevent yourself really from sin in general. But in the context of Proverbs, particularly the sin we're talking about, fill your heart with the word of God. With God's wisdom and knowledge in the fear of God. He says at verse 11, "Discretion will watch over you if you do that. Understanding will guard you." At verse 16, he says, "So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words." Who will be delivered? The one who fills himself with the word of God, with God's wisdom. And with the fear of the Lord, you can overcome that. But it's something we have to be mindful of and be on guard of. Well, Samson failed. He again, as I said in the beginning, it plagued him all through his life. And so when we left off last time in Judges chapter 16, we're reading about Samson and Delilah. And, of course, she is... now the men, the lords of the Philistines have come to her and told her, this is what we want you to do. We want you to seduce Samson and learn the power of his strength. And if you do that, all of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So she couldn't pass that up. And I suspect they could have offered her a lot less and she probably would have done it. And so that's what she begins to do. At verse 6, it says, So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you." And Samson said to her, If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I will become weak and be like any other man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And So it's amazing that she was able to do that. Some have said that he must have been in a drunken stupor to allow that to happen. And, you know, I don't think the rest of the chapter would allow for that. He slept real well. You know, but you would have thought that would have woke him up. But she was able to bind him up with these things. But, of course, what happened was, it says, now she had men lying in ambush in an inner chamber. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Now, when I read this, and if you read different commentaries, they seem to come to different conclusions about what I'm about to say. When I read this, I don't think Samson knew. Like, remember I told you last week, this is kind of a game to him. And he's kind of enjoying this, really. And the reason, as we continue in these things, but the reason he doesn't really believe that she would betray him. He said, how can he not, particularly after she does this over and over? Because it's a game, he thinks. He doesn't know that these Philistines are literally in the chamber, hiding out. I don't believe. Some believe that after each attempt, they come out and he sees them. It doesn't say that he sees them, and I don't know. It seems to me that if he would have seen them, he probably would have killed them or would have attacked them. I don't think, because they're probably smart enough. They're just waiting. They're in the back, the chamber there, and they're waiting. If his strength disappears, then they'll attack him. But that doesn't happen. And I would think that when they see that he didn't tell her the truth, he still has his strength, they don't reveal themselves to him. And so, yes.
We've already talked about he's basically playing a game with them. You know, I believe he was.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm guessing, and it is a guess, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't just let her tie him up because he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, maybe. You know, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That could be. Because it is like, again, like when she says the Philistines are here, you know, it's just like he's kind of, and none of this we can be 100% sure about, of course. But he's thinking, you know, she's playing along. You know, I'm playing along with her. And to him, it's exciting because you remember, Samson basically is living in a fantasy world. Like, this is a beautiful woman. And I know in most of the time, or in a lot of cases at least, when you have a beautiful woman, the Bible will identify her as such. That's not, to my recollection, that the Bible didn't say that about Delilah. But we know Samson, don't we? And we know what he likes. You remember his first wife? He married her. Why? Because she was so smart. Lusted after her. He saw that even though she was a foreigner, didn't matter. Even though he knew God didn't want that, he wanted what he wanted. He had a problem with women, and particularly beautiful women. And I don't think we go too far out on a limb to say Delilah was probably a stunning woman. And here he is. He's over at her house. Like, what's he doing there? And is he living there? Some think that he was. I don't know if there's any evidence of that. That kind of thing wasn't common at that time. But he was certainly there a lot, enough for all of this to go on. And maybe sometimes stood a little too late until he fell asleep and would stay over sometimes, whatever. But all of that is sinful behavior, isn't it? And promiscuous behavior. And this is the judge of Israel behaving like this. And so, but here he is, and again, he's enjoying this and thinks, now, she's not enjoying it because to her, it's not a game. She's getting quite irritated. And so as we go on, then it says, Delilah says to Samson, behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. So again, he doesn't lose his strength. And you see what I think that he doesn't really realize. I mean, it just seems to be if he knew those men were actually there to get him, that he wouldn't view this as a game. But the evidence, as we read the text, is he never feels like he's in any kind of danger of anything at all. And he just toying with temptation is what he's doing. He just having a good time in this fantasy world of him. Staying with this beautiful woman in her house, and so he's not worried at all. And so he keeps playing along. But she keeps getting more irritated. So, verse 12, then Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now he's getting dangerously close to revealing the truth, isn't he? This is closer. Now, you know, now at least he sets forth something that is dealing with his hair. And so it says, then Delilah said to verse 13. Okay. Then Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, I just read that. All right, verse 14. So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web. And she made them tight with a pin and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin and the loom and the web. And so obviously didn't work because that wasn't where the strength was. So she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and you have not told me where your great strength lies. So now she plays the love card, doesn't she? And it's almost like, yeah, you know, if you really loved me, you tell me this. And that's always, you know, that's a dangerous thing. Particularly for our young women, and I know most are in the back, but for any, you know, you got to make sure if you have a teenage daughter, you need to tell them, listen, any boy, young man, or whoever ever says, if you love me, you stop it right there. End that relationship right then, because that's going nowhere. That's someone who doesn't love her. That's someone who wants something. That should, in a relationship, if you love me, it's something. Now, the only one who has a right to say that is who? Is Jesus. Why? Because he doesn't have a selfish bone in his body. So when he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, that wasn't about him and him getting anything out of that. That was about, he knew that's in our best interest. But any man says that to a woman, there's a selfish end to that. He wants something himself. That's you hear that? My advice is to any young lady, any man ever says to you, if you love me, you will, last date, last whatever, relationship's over. But that's Delilah. She's playing the love card. Oh, Sam, if you really loved me, you tell me. And then she really begins to turn up the heat. Now, she is frustrated with this and irritated. Now it's become tiresome, the whole thing. And so now day after day, she nags him and nags him until it's no longer fun for him either. Now he's irritated. And so finally, it says at verse 17, and he told her all his heart and said to her, a razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And so he reveals the secret. And you notice this as we read this. Somehow we're not told all the details here. Of course, that's typical in the Bible. But it says, and he told her all his heart. Like somehow this time he reveals this to her in such a way that she realizes almost immediately he's telling the truth. This time he's not lying. So Gary, yeah. That's clear.
Finally,
yeah.
I think he wants to keep her. He wants to hold on to her.
Well, yeah.
So he does what she asked him about this.
Yeah.
And he, like you said, it's a game.
Sure.
Until he finds out here at the end, like you said, she's going to end it or something. So tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Finally.
He doesn't want this fantasy situation to end at all. But whatever the situation is, I don't know, is it in his eyes or the tone of his voice or whatever he said. Again, we don't have all the information, everything he said to her, but she knew. And whatever she conveyed to the lords of the Philistines, they too believed that oh man, this is the truth. Because you notice here, it says So Delilah and Samson, until now you have mocked me and going on one way up there. Let me see. What verse is that? 17, 18. And when Delilah saw, here it is. And while Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines saying, come up again, for he has told me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. So they came with the payment this time. Like they too believed. Like you would think the lords of the Philistines were getting kind of irritated with all this too. But this time they came with the money. So whatever's going on, it is clear that he has revealed his secret. And isn't it amazing? Yeah, go ahead, Gary. Yeah.
So all of a sudden now for him, he gets serious.
Yeah.
You know, this is something's going to happen here. I better tell her the truth.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, either that or she's getting on his last nerve.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what it is, he's vexed. Yeah, there's no doubt. So, again, yeah, the fun, the entertainment part of this has come to an end.
Right.
And so he reveals it. And isn't it interesting when he says, for I, as he's telling, if a razor has never come upon, a razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. Really? Because have you? And he just throws that up. That's very interesting to me that we get some insight into Samson's thinking, his view of things. Like to him, he's a good old Nazarite. Even though he hasn't kept that vow even a little bit. It kind of reminds me of us sometimes. Hey, we like to tell people, I'm a Christian if there's something in it for us. Like if someone wants to know something and we say, well, yeah, you know, I'll do, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to, well, but you don't ever live the life of a Christian. So you can't just, you're not a Christian just because you say you are. And you're not a Nazarite just because you're supposed to be. He's broken his vow every step of the way throughout his adult life. And yet, in this situation, we kind of see how he views the, well, I've been a Nazarite from my mother's womb. Really? So I'm not sure about that. So technically, yes, but not in actuality. Go ahead, Steve.
Like Christians, he kept the part that was okay for him.
Yeah.
Causing any problem.
Right.
Christians do that too.
Exactly, yeah.
Just ignore everything that's a problem.
Yeah.
Don't bother with that. But if it goes along with my lifestyle, then, yeah, I'm a Christian.
Right. And there's a great point in that because we deceive ourselves. Like, they're Christians who are half-hearted, not committed to God at all, but in their own minds, they really view themselves as a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I got my certificate to tell you when I was baptized. I'm a Christian. But they don't, Monday through Saturday, they don't really live like a Christian. On Sunday, maybe they're here, maybe not. Sometimes not. But I'm a Christian. And it doesn't work like that. And Samson just throwing out, well, I've been a Nazarite from my mother's womb. Yeah, technically, maybe in word, but certainly not in action. So that's kind of interesting. And there's a lot of insight that we get into Samson's mind in this whole thing. Because watch as we go back and see how this unfolds very quickly. Let's see here. It says, look at verse 19. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And just reading a little bit more here. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. That is that whole thing is very interesting. Here's the thing. There's a lot of people who get themselves caught up again in some kind of spiritual mess. A lot of times it does have to do with the same thing Samson struggled with. Preachers who get caught up in extramarital affairs and that sort of thing. Or Christians who find themselves drinking and a little bit here and there until they become drunks, really. But nobody really knows that they're able to control it and conceal it. And a lot of people in those kind of situations can get so into their little double life to where, and they like it, to where they're willing to do it even though they know it's a problem, even though they know the consequences of it. Like, did Samson know that by revealing this to Delilah, he's probably going to lose his commission from God? He's probably going to, he's probably sacrificing all of what he really is in doing this. Perhaps. We don't know. We're not told. But I'm saying to you, there's a lot of people who do, who get involved. I'm talking about children of God who get involved in something, some kind of work of the flesh. They get so into it, they know it might cost them their marriage. It might cost them their reputation. It may cost them the trust of their children. But they do it anyway because they're just so caught up in that sin. And it just shows us how powerful sin can be. But as I think about Samson, I don't really think that's the situation with him. And this might be even worse. I think Samson really didn't think he would lose his commission no matter what. That no matter what he did, God was still going to be with him. And that's why I said before, you can see he never really feels threatened. Even after he reveals the truth about how, if his hair is cut off, that he'd lose his strength. And what does he do? He falls asleep with his head in Delilah's lap. How worried do you think he is? She has bound him, all this. He just falls right on to sleep. He thinks it's a game. He trusts her. He's not worried at all. But then he wakes up and his head is cut. His hair is cut off. He's shaven. And he still isn't worried about it. He still thinks, no problem. Do you notice how it reads there? That he would just, I'll just go and shake off the chains and just like before. No problem. He thought he would be able to go out and kill the Philistines because he didn't realize that the Lord's strength had departed from him. After all, I've done all kinds of things. Like, not all that long ago, I was with a prostitute. And I still had God's strength. And I remember when I went into the vineyard and wasn't supposed to be there, but I was. And a lion came upon me and I was able to kill the lion. I'm okay. No matter what I do and how I live, God is going to continue to be with me and nothing's ever going to change. Until it does. And there's too many Christians like that who think, or children of God who are like that, who think, I can live, but God, he's going to make an exception. Maybe I'm sporadic in my attendance, but guess what? God knows my heart. It'll be okay. He's not going to leave me until he does. And we need to stop thinking like how we live our lives matters. God sees how we live our life. Let's not try to take advantage of the grace and the mercy of God. Because God is a God who is impeccably pure. He is light, John said. There's no darkness in him at all. And if we live in sin, things are not going to continue. And Samson didn't get that. Even till the very end, until they gorge out his eyes, and he finally realized, uh-oh, God's no longer with me. So, yeah, Dale.
All this time, he's, like I said, I wouldn't be just playing a game with him. But on the reverse side of it, he's basically playing a game with him. Only she's doing it for the money. Because
right.
At the end, we see that they brought her money. And then he didn't realize, but that's what sin can do for you. He thought, oh, okay, I'm doing all this.
Right.
God's still with me.
Yes.
But at the end, the sin caught up with him.
Right.
And the Lord had not been, he left it, basically.
Yes.
In verse 20. Yeah. It says, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him.
Right.
And sometimes we don't know that either.
Sometimes we don't know it either.
We are so involved in things that's sinful.
Right.
And we don't think about, I think I can do this. I think God's still with me.
Right. I know for a fact, I know individuals, members of the church who have been unfaithful in some ways, but they're absolutely convinced. You can tell talking with them. They have no fear that the strength of the Lord has left them. That fellowship with God has ceased because of how they're living their life. Things continue. You know what? I still have a good job. God continues to bless me. Just like before, everything's okay. No, everything's not okay. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's an interesting statement that Paul makes. At verse 10, 2 Timothy 2 and at verse 10. I'm going to read it real fast. We're not going to finish because of you all. But anyway, verse 10, it says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died in him, we will also live with him. Now listen to this. If we endure, he will reign. We will reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. How do we deny him? In all kinds of ways. Whenever we are unfaithful to him in any way, we're denying him. And if we deny the Lord, he's going to deny us. Now, listen to this. He goes on to say, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. I want you to get that part. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For it says he cannot deny himself. Whenever you're thinking, well, God will be all right. God will just ignore this. And he knows my heart and why I did this, why I'm doing that. He knows God cannot deny himself. He is light, no darkness in him at all. He couldn't tolerate your sin if he wanted to. It's against his very essence. He cannot deny himself. If you're faithless, he's still going to be faithful. He's still going to do what he says in his word he's going to do. He's going to end the fellowship no matter. Don't ever think, well, yeah, but it's me. It's all right. That's what Samson thought. Even after his head was shaven. Even after he jumps up and realizes that what he believes is the strength, his strength, his hair is gone. Oh, no, I'll just shake him up just like before and be okay. I'll defeat him. He didn't know that the strength of the Lord had departed. So, of course, that leads to them capturing him and just think, we'll wrap this up next week. But you just think of them gorging out his eyes. What a picture. The great Samson, the mighty Samson. Do you think they took him aside and gently did that? Gave him some, something to make it, so he wouldn't feel the pain and whatnot and let him rest. They gorged out his eyes. Plucking out his eyeballs. And so dry blood all down his cheeks for days and probably weeks to come. And just dark sockets and just a pitiful picture of a man who was raised up by God to be a deliverer. His life, his sinful ways, always putting himself before the Lord and everybody else, his arrogance, all of that, his unfaithfulness, it is all caught up with him. And here he is in this terrible situation. But in the end, we'll see next week that what he does at the very end of his life, I believe, is what lands him in Hebrews chapter 11. And so that's a positive thing. We'll look at that next week.